Fed Talks is a weekly podcast featuring federal program staff from the Georgia Department of Education and Georgia's public schools. For many individuals, the purpose of federally funded programs is unknown. Through its Fed Talk series, the Georgia Department of Education is sharing more information on the ways Georgians are leveraging federal funds to serve Georgia students and Georgia schools. Welcome to Fed Talks.
Everybody, this is Craig Gere speaking, and we're glad to have you back for the next series in our podcast. And this time we're going to be talking about the Title I Part A program. So before we begin, I'd like to go around the room and just have those who are with us introduce themselves. So we'll start with you, John.
Good morning. John White with Federal Programs.
Sean Owen with Federal Programs.
Randy Phillips with Title I Part A.
And Ken Banter with Title I Part A.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And as I mentioned, we're going to be talking about the Title I Part A program. And so let's get right into some questions. And I think the very first one is, what is Title I Part A?
Okay. Well, Title I Part A is a program provided by the federal government to help students in all our schools do the best they possibly can. And it is designed to give opportunity to for all students to receive a fair, equitable, and high-quality education, and really to close educational gaps.
Great, Randy. And so my question is, first of all, how many districts in Georgia, school districts in Georgia, actually get that, get Title I Part A money?
I'll take that. All districts in Georgia are eligible to receive Title I funds, and is based on their poverty level and their census data from the prior year. And currently, for FY18, we have 1,645 schools that receive Title I funds, which is roughly 72% of all of our schools in Georgia.
So can I clarify something real quick? You said
sure.
Schools and districts. Can you talk real quick about where does the money go? Who gets the money first?
That's a good question. The school districts, or what we call the LEAs, actually receive the funds, and then they will determine what each school will receive within their district, depending upon their school's poverty levels. And we can maybe talk about that later.
Okay, great.
All right, so I have the next question. Are the Georgia Department of Education state-approved LEA charter schools included in the allocations? And while you're talking about that, you may want to just briefly explain what a state-approved LEA charter school is.
In Georgia, charter schools apply to the state, and if they wish to be a standalone charter LEA or district, they can apply through the state and have their own school license, I guess the best word to use for them to have, to where they can run their own school, and they would be counted just like all the other county districts in the state and receive a Title I allocation. There are charter schools that occur in the state that are not state charters. They're local charters that are designed to work within the school district with where they are. And those we call local charters, and they would fall into the allocation plan of that district as to how they get their funds. So they would get their funds through their regular district allocation.
So how would that work with a state-approved LEA charter school?
They would just, once they are approved by the state, they're included in our list of counties and districts in the state, city school systems, all put in one big pot, and then the allocations are determined through, as Ken mentioned earlier, through their poverty data and census data that we have as to what allocation they have earned to receive from our federal share.
Great. Let me ask you this question. You mentioned before that LEAs apply, the charters apply. They're basically letting us know that they would like to be a state-approved charter. Along those same lines, how does a school district apply for their funds? What do they have to do to get their Title I money?
They really don't have to do anything. They earn it. They get that when we look at all their data that comes in from the federal government as to the amount of money that they have earned through their census data as to what their allocation would be.
Okay, that's great. Can you clarify a little bit about do the LEAs do any kind of application every year? Do they tell us how they want to use their money? Is that something that might happen?
here's what the school systems do. When they receive their, to receive any federal funds, they have to fill out an application, which we call the Consolidated LEA Improvement Plan. And they identify how they're going to use their federal funds for their eligible students. So for Title I, they write out how they're going to identify the students and the schools that will receive these funds and how they're going to use them. And they send the application to us at the state level that we review.
Part of that application includes just a needs assessment to where they actually identify the needs that the students have and in their individual schools and their district. And then the initiatives that they plan, the action steps they wish to take are outlined in that plan as well. So we know what their plans are to do to help serve the kids the best they can.
You know, Craig, this sounds familiar because didn't we hear about this with Title IV, Part A? Didn't they talk about a needs assessment in the application? So it's similar, you guys, right? Mm-hmm. That they're basically doing it, telling us how they're going to use their money. Title I, Part A is just one of the streams that they might have.
In fact, all federal funds require that there is a comprehensive needs assessment done at the district and at the school level if funds go down to the school, which Title I does.
And that leads us right into the next question.
So we hear you sometimes when we're talking about federal programs talk about targeted assistance and school-wide programs. What's the difference when you're talking about these two?
I'll talk about school-wide, and Randy, you may want to talk about targeted. School-wide is a comprehensive program that deals with all the students, all the teachers, and all the parents at a school. Therefore, they can use their funds any way to address those needs that we just talked about from that comprehensive needs assessment to address those students that are most academically in need to receive additional assistance. So that's a school-wide. It covers the whole school, all the students, teachers, and their parents.
One of the things that a school district must have is to serve a school as Title I at all, they must have at least 35% of their school be poverty. And that's the only way to receive any Title I funds down to the school level. School-wide has that one extra step that they have to actually meet the 40th percent threshold to serve as a school-wide. If they're below 40 and above 35, they would have the option of being a targeted assisted program. And that is where they would select the students that are most in need of academic help. They would have the funds allocated to them just for that purpose, and those funds would be used just for those students, their parents, and their teachers to help improve their educational program.
This might be a good time to interject because I think you mentioned poverty as one of the criteria. So I know our audience has heard over the course of the podcast reference to the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, which was, in essence, war on poverty, essentially, was the reason for creating the act. So you want to share a little bit more about what that was meant to accomplish?
The fact that the funds are allocated by poverty is kind of misleading for a lot of folks. I use this story all the time when I tell our Title I directors across the state as to what they need to think about when figuring out how they use their funds. When I was in school, I would go up to the lunchroom lady at school and ask, why are all these kids giving the school money? Or why are they giving you having to pay for their lunch? And in my case, I never paid. I never understood. But what was happening was, at that point, I was on a free lunch type program, and I actually earned the school money for their Title I program. But I was not in any of the Title I programs. And because I was in some of the more advanced classes, there were kids below me academically that were needing the services. And so the funds are determined by poverty, but they serve the most academically needed.
Right, and I think it is always important to bring it back to the purpose for these federal education funds, right, which is the Elementary and Secondary Education mm-hmm. Act. So I appreciate that little sidetrack into how this is all tied in.
Great. So let me just summarize the question that Sean posed to us. School-wide, Title I school, everyone can be served, but a targeted is just like it says, it's targeted for only those identified students that are most academically in need.
And the targeted assistance sounds like when we talk about serving the needs of private schools, that seems to be more targeted assistance focused on specific students for specific needs for Title I-A, which I know we're going to get to in an upcoming podcast. So that'll be good to hear about.
You know, as we wrap up this first session, can you tell us a little bit about where our listeners could get some more information, maybe some websites where they could get some more information on Title I Part A?
Our Godot website, within the Godot website, which is www.gadoe.org, there is a section in there for federal programs, and then within the federal programs is Title I Part A, and we have great resources and information on both school-wide and targeted programs.
And we'll be talking about these resources as we go through our series moving forward.
All right. Well, I think that's a good introduction for us on the general Title I Part A program and its requirements. So we look forward to continuing the conversation in the next podcast. Thank you, guys.